Remarks of the President, yeah. Snohomish, Washington, 2 October 1952.
Thank you very much for that nice welcome. Thank you. I understand you raise a lot of good things here. Good milk cows and good baseball teams. Good basketball teams. I wish I could stop and see them all in operation. I expect some of you may have guessed why I'm here. I'm out campaigning for a Democratic victory in November. I must say it's a privilege and a pleasure to be doing that in the great state of Washington, for you have the finest team of Democratic candidates anyone could hope for. For Senator, your Andrew Jackson, Scoop I call him, could not be improved upon. If you send him to the Senate, you'll have two very able and distinguished senators in Warren Magnuson and Scoop Jackson. Hugh Mitchell for governor is a man of experience. He's been in the Congress and the Senate, and I know that he'll make you a good governor. For your congressman at large, Don Magnuson impresses me as a man of ability, and he has a good name anyway. Now for the congressman in this district who just introduced me, Henry Hansen, he'll make a wonderful successor to Henry Jackson. And I hope you'll send him to the Congress, because we need men like that in the House and the Senate too. Now I want to tell you about the national ticket. Adlai Stevenson for president and John Sparkman for vice president. Adlai Stevenson has been out in this state. Some of you may have seen him. I hope all of you read his fine speech at Seattle. He is talking sense to the American people, and he's making sense too. A lot more sense than his opponent. John Sparkman has been one of our most progressive senators. Just ask Senator Magnuson about him. He can give you a good reference. These are good men, solid citizens, and men you can trust to work for you, for all the plain people, every day in the week. I've got something here I think will interest you. It's a copy of a nice slick very nice slick Republican magazine called the Farm Journal. Some of you may read it. This is the issue for September 20th, 1952. Now right at the front of this issue, there's an editorial. It's a Republican editorial, and it covers the situation in a way that is very, very surprising. It follows the party line of the Republican campaign. It says things are just terrible in this country. The country's going to the dogs, all because of the present administration. A change is needed, it says, to rescue the nation from an administration helplessly lost, groggy, and full of entrenched ineptitude, and so forth and so on. Just the usual thing you hear a Republican orator say. This is very interesting. But a little later on in this same issue, you get a good illustration of what this helpless, groggy, inept administration of mine has done for this country. On page 46, there is an article, and its title reads, "What to Do with Surplus Money." And it starts off by saying, for farmers, as for many others, the question of what to do with surplus cash is often a problem. Now that certainly sounds like we've got the country in a terrible fix. We've created a new problem for the farmer. What to do with his surplus money? Then this magazine goes on to say, every farmer has plenty of uses for cash. He may buy additional land, if this seems necessary, for more efficient operation, or for an investment. Debts can be reduced or paid off. Life insurance must be maintained, and a reasonable working cash balance kept on hand. His home should be well equipped and comfortable, but after these essentials have been taken care of, the working farmer often has cash remaining that should be earning something. Yes, sir, it's sure tough life for a farmer after 20 years of helpless Democratic ineptitude. I heard a story over in Montana, told to me by the governor. He said the farmers over there were in somewhat of a fix. He said he had met one farmer who was in such bad fix, he had to wash his own Cadillac. Now, I don't know whether the farmers around here have a problem about what to do with their surplus money or not, but if you do, I can tell you how to solve it. Just elect a Republican president and a Republican Congress. They'll take care of that problem for you. The first thing you know, you won't have any money at all, surplus or any other kind. All you'll have to do then is to worry about how you're going to pay the mortgage off before some banker takes your farm away from you. They tell me that the Republican candidate for president has a sign on the back of his train that says, "Look ahead, neighbor." I'll tell you what I've been telling people. That sign ought to say, "Look out, neighbor." Because if that Republican candidate is elected, you better look out for that surplus cash, because as I said a while ago, you won't have it very long when the Republicans get things going like they want. The best way to take care of that situation and to keep yourselves in a good fix, financially and otherwise, is to look out for your own interests and look out for the welfare of this great nation of ours. The proper way to do that is to exercise your prerogative as a voter. The power in this government of ours is in the voters. It's centered in the voters. And when they exercise their privileges as they should, they can have good government. Well, now you've had good government for 20 years. Government that has been in your interest and your welfare. Best thing for you to do is to continue that situation. The best way to do it is to go to the polls on the 4th of November and vote a straight Democratic ticket, and then you'll have four more years of good government and prosperity and peace. Thank you very much. Now I have a young lady with me, whom I